It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Now that Bill Peduto is set to take over the mayor's office, the jockeying is underway among Pittsburgh City Council members to overtake Darlene Harris as president of the Pittsburgh City Council. So who is in the running and why? I'm joined now in Studio A by Pittsburgh City Paper editor Chris Potter. Chris, good to have you back with us.
Always good to be here.
Also joining us by phone is Pittsburgh Tribune Review columnist Neferi Vanaski. Neferi, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Chris, let's begin with you. Go ahead and put on your Captain Renault cap and round up the usual suspects for us for City Council President.
I mean, one way of arguing this is that it's all nine of them because you can never really tell what's going to happen. But there are essentially three who have sort of put their hats in or declared themselves. Darlene Harris is the current City Council President, as you mentioned, and could conceivably be up for another 2-year stint as president. Ricky Burgess, the councilman from the District 9, kind of in the city's East End, has said that he's quite confident with her leadership. But if the council decides to go another way, he himself would put his name in there. And Bruce Krause is kind of the guy who in this little contest is the most closely aligned with Bill Peduto, the mayor-elect of Pittsburgh. Those are really the three top candidates that you hear tossed around a lot. Some other names kind of surface from time to time. But I would suspect it would be one of those three and probably either Darlene Harris or Bruce Krause.
And Neferi, who do you see as the top contenders to overtake Darlene Harris as president if indeed somebody emerges that can knock her off that top step?
Honestly, it's hard for me to say. I personally am not terribly impressed with the council as it is. I feel like they kind of stood by as Luke Ravenstahl kind of, you know, strolled through his mayor, his term, and none of them really stepped up and said, you know, this is not right. In fact, it was sort of seen as kind of like a joke. I mean, we had Bill Peduto say at one point, you know, it's probably better he doesn't show up. And I don't find that necessarily funny, and I don't think that that's necessarily a great show of leadership. I feel like somebody should have – any council member – I would have been happy if any council member had really just – made a case to really push for him to either do something or leave. And so it's hard for me to be impressed with any of them. And I certainly am not impressed with Burgess's argument that he should, you know, be a front runner because of his race. And, you know, Bruce Krause saying, because, you know, I'm gay, you know, it's time to diversify, which is fine. I'm fine with diversity, of course, but I think that your track record should be the primary, should be the main thing you're campaigning behind, and not because you're, you know, you're black and you're gay and a minority and it's your time. Especially, I'd like to see a track record. I'd like to see proof of leadership. And so I'm not impressed.
Well, before, sure. And before we, and you've made that perfectly clear in your recent column, you pointed that out. That having been said, though, do either Ricky Burgess or Bruce Krause have a point when they say, you know, we've seen lily white leadership at the top of the city council, in Bruce Krause's case, he's saying that he is part of a minority that is systematically oppressed by government. So if they were to be considered, wouldn't there be some merit to them being considered based on who they are?
I'm fine with that as long as you're also qualified for the job.
So you're, and go ahead.
Because I certainly understand growing up as a, you know, obviously a young black woman and pursuing a journalism field, it is definitely, when you see people who look like you succeeding, that's important. And I can see wanting to have that representation, wanting to show people, yes, you know, we're a progressive city, we can, you know, we have a black council president, and, you know, this guy, he's going to be our guy if something, God forbid, should happen to our mayor. That's fine. I have a problem when that is your main argument, is that it's my time. I don't think that it's terribly progressive at all to base your argument on that. I see the importance of showing diversity, and maybe and it certainly does show diversity when you have a council president who, you know, is kind of breaking the mold in a way. But
you take exception.
I just don't see it.
You take exception to the idea of entitlement for either Mr. Burgess or Mr. Krause.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'd say a couple.
Without a track record, yeah.
I'd say a couple things. I mean, first of all, Reverend Burgess would say he does have a track record. He's been on council. Actually, it's a fairly young council, and Mr. Burgess has been on the council for almost as long as anybody else except for Darlene Harris herself. And he would say, I've sat on the I've basically been the chair of council's law and finance committee, and that also qualifies me. I think this is a city that has not had a black council president since the 1970s, Lou Mason. And on the face of it, that's an issue. I would say, though, that I'm not sure how much of this is really about who the next council president should be. Part of what's going on here, I think, is that Ricky Burgess, who was long a foe of Mr. Peduto on council, has had a habit of taking the fight to Mr. Peduto by basically using Mr. Peduto's own claims for himself kind of against him. So a few years ago, Mr. Peduto led a faction to get a prevailing wage bill passed on council. And Mr. Burgess chose that time as the moment to raise a living wage bill, which had sort of been a moribund issue, but would have been an even more expansive thing. And his argument was, if we want to do right by low-wage workers in Pittsburgh, let's do this bill. And it was seen, quite understandably, as a way of trying to take thunder away from Mr. Peduto. So what you had in this case is you had Mr. Peduto come out with a council with an administrative leadership team that is very diverse. I mean, almost diverse to a fault in a way. It was more diverse than the city itself. And within a few days of that, Mr. Burgess surfaces and says, you know, I think if we're committed to this new Pittsburgh of diversity, that we should also be looking for a black council president. Of course, the two African Americans on council, himself and Mr. Lavelle, have often been on the faction lined up against Mr. Peduto and his supporters. So if nothing else, whether Mr. Burgess has a legitimate shot at becoming the next council president or not, he is sort of taking the wind out of Mr. Peduto's sails, or at least trying to, when it comes to sort of being a champion of diversity. So I think some of that is what's going on there.
What about Nefari's point, Chris, that in keeping with the Captain Raynaud analogy, that while Luke Ravenstahl was engaging in alleged impropriety as the mayor of Pittsburgh, that the members of the city council said they were shocked, in fact, to realize that any of this was going on.
I mean, I think you can go back and you can say, you know, from the very early days, and let's remember that Luke Ravenstahl himself, one of the reasons people jockey for this city council president job is because it's one way to become the mayor after the death of Bob O'Connor. Luke Ravenstahl, who is kind of a compromise candidate. I mean, some of these battles are just, I mean, it's just Byzantine, the politics. Luke Ravenstahl became the guy who basically, because the other factions couldn't agree on their candidate, they both said, well, we'll go with this guy who's a fairly fresh face. Luke Ravenstahl had far less experience when he became a council president than any of the people currently in the running for the post. Very early on, Bill Peduto was kind of raising concerns about him and calling out, and he was not alone. There were other people doing the same thing. So you could certainly hear people raising objections to the mayor at that time and raising concerns. But the fact of the matter is, this is not – it's a strong mayor city of government. It's very difficult for council to work its will against the mayor. There's no real provision for impeachment or for removal from office by the voters or by council. You basically have to go to Harrisburg to have that done. So
you're saying there was no recourse.
It's tough.
There's
not a lot of leverage.
Right.
There's not a lot of leverage. And you know, it would be interesting. I mean, we'll never know if Luke Ravenstahl had decided to run again this past year, how those issues would have been played out. Once he became kind of a lame duck, were people as invested in taking him on? You know, obviously not. I think the record's pretty clear on that.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer, and we're talking about how the race for Pittsburgh City Council president is shaping up with City Paper editor Chris Potter and Tribune Review columnist Nefari Vanaski. Nefari, what should the qualifications of a city council president be, especially in the context of Pittsburgh, as we look ahead to 2014 and beyond?
Well, I would want to see someone who is you know, obviously shown an ability to get things done in their community, but also willing to look at other communities and look at other groups and not just say, well, you know, the Black community, you know, we needs help in Pittsburgh. You know, be willing to look out and say, you know, let's, you know, put our hand out to the, you know, LGBT community as well. And I think that's, I think that would be something to be, you know, kind of over anything else. I don't know that I see that really. I don't know that I see anyone really willing to look beyond their own district, beyond their own group. This is what concerns me. That's what I think is should be the main issue.
And Chris, what is your idea of what the qualifications of a city council president should be in Pittsburgh?
I mean, I think you at a minimum you need somebody who really understands the rules of procedure for council, which can be a little arcane, especially to a newcomer. You want somebody who has the faith, even if not everybody on council agrees with that person. You want somebody who they feel can be trusted and who can deal with them in good faith. The real question, I think, is what you want council to be. Do you want council to be somebody that an entity that works well alongside the mayor, or do you want council to be sort of be a check on the mayor's authority and to be somebody? And we've had both kind of systems in recent years. We've had a kind of go along to get along council, and then a council that's really you know, been in an oppositional relationship to the mayor. And I think this is really a very early test to see what kind of council Bill Peduto has to work with, what kind of coattails he has, what kind of ability he has to get things done as he launches his administration. And to be honest, I mean, I suspect that Bruce Krause will probably be the next city council president, in part because city councilors do worry about what they can get done from their districts. And you know, you need five votes to get a new city council president. And a lot of those councilors are thinking, I got a new mayor coming in who can do stuff for my district. Is this the fight I want to pick right out of the gate and potentially do damage to my ability to serve my constituents down the road?
And there are probably a lot of people listening to this who don't realize what the process is for choosing a city council president. So I'll toss that question out to either of you to explain how that works.
It is, as I say, a Byzantine process. On paper, it's very simple. When the new council gets sworn in, the members who've been reelected and the newly elected members get sworn in on January, in the first meeting of January, basically the next thing that happens is they pick a council, the councilors together pick a president, there are nominations, and they vote. Whoever that president wins is then allocates the various council committeeships, some being more valued than others, and that's another sort of trading chip that gets used in these negotiations. So it seems very straightforward.
So are there any backroom
yes.
deals that are made?
I have had situations where I have spoken to councilors like at 9 or 10 o'clock at night before the vote, and they said it's going down one way, and then they got up the next morning and the entire landscape had shifted. It can be a very difficult process. And the proof of that is Council President Darlene Harris herself. 4 years ago, she became president with the support of Bill Peduto and his allies. 2 years ago, she retained control of her presidency by going against Bill Peduto and his allies. So these factions can shift. It's a very fluid situation, often right up until almost the moment of the vote.
Neferi, why shouldn't we expect to see Darlene Harris remain in the president's chair? After all, there are no term limits here, right?
Yeah, I say I'm not very impressed with any of them. And I personally, being a Northside resident, she is has been my council member. And I personally had, you know, before I became a columnist here, petitioned her to try and get her help me with some situations that were going on in our neighborhood, and never heard anything from her. So, I mean, I have that bias myself, but I don't think I think it goes back to what Chris says. It depends on what kind of counsel you're looking for. Are you looking for a progressive counsel, or are you looking for, you know, somebody who's going to, you know, step up when necessary? I think that she, in my mind, is just as good as any in that respect.
So before we wrap this up then, how do we see this shaking out? Chris, it sounds like you're saying that Bruce Krause is going to be the guy.
I mean, I never take anything for granted in these deliberations. This thing has been a mess in the past, but if I were a betting person and we're going to put money on this, my money would be on Bruce Krause.
And Neferi, what do you think?
I kind of sense that Darlene Harris is going to keep it, but I would also guess that Chris probably knows a few more people than I do. So I'm just guessing here.
Well, based on what you said, I wouldn't be surprised if either one of us, probably you, gets a call from Darlene. So what was that issue on the north side you wanted me to address?
Hey, I've written about it already, and I've still not heard from her, so I don't think it's going to happen today either.
Yeah, well, we reach a lot of people on this show, so you never know.
Okay, hopefully. My lines are open, Ms. Harris.
City Paper editor Chris Potter and Tribune Review columnist Neferi Vanaski, thank you so much, both of you, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks
for having us.
Coming up, sociologist Patrick Sharkey on how neighborhoods reflect the racial inequality in America and what can be done to improve them. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.